ओम शांति। For most of the year, we were hearing that Daddy Gulzar wasn't so well. She was very weak. And then when she arrived in Madhuban, it was a joy to see her looking well. And then when she sat on the gadi, she didn't look very strong. She looked very frail. And at what point the soul went to Baba and Baba came down, I don't know. But certainly the drishti continued in a very beautiful, powerful way. And it was long, long drishti. And then when Baba began to speak, we've grown accustomed to having Baba speak in a whisper. And so maybe our minds were still tuned for that and waiting for that. And so we had to do a little bit of a mental juggling act and understand that, yes, the sweetness of the words, the love in the words, the authority in the words were all Baba. The feeling is definitely Baba. And yes, Baba has now shifted into another way of using the chariot. And so Baba's using the normal voice instead of a whisper. And so we had to do that little juggle in our own minds and come to the awareness that this is Baba. It made me realize two things. A, how to recognize Baba becomes continually more and more subtle. And so my intellect has to be more and more subtle to appreciate who it is who's speaking and giving so much. That was one thing. And the second thing is just the awareness that although we know the cycle means change, but most of the cycle it's been very gradual, slow, slow, just like a louse, as Baba says. The change has been very, very slow. And it's only in Sangam Yuga that change happens in a very dramatic way. Through Copper Age and Iron Age, from time to time, we've had sudden scenes. But Sangam Yuga, every moment is very different, very different. And we're not so accustomed to change as we could be. And yes, on the one side, Baba wants us to have stability. And on the other side, being able to juggle and keep up with the change. That's the interesting paradox of Sangam Yuga. And so, yes, my roots have to be deep and stable, but yet, on the other hand, the tree has to be willing to bend and move so that then, whichever direction the wind is coming from, I'm able to understand and benefit from that. And so, the atmosphere that I could feel was one of great expectation. And then as Baba began to speak, it was as if everything was becoming deep and serious, very loving, but very deep. And it was only when Baba started the interaction with the different groups that then there was a different energy and a lot of lightness. And then, of course, the humor that Baba always has, that also came in. So it was different, not the scene that we've usually had for many, many years over a long period of time. But it was like every moment, what's it going to be like? What's it going to be like? What's it going to be like? So Baba's keeping us on our toes mentally, ready for everything and anything, and being able just to accept whatever is the scene that's here in front of me, and to know that it's of benefit. There's benevolence in the scene, there's benefit in the scene. Can I see the benefit and take the benefit from all of this? So that's a sort of general, overall feeling that I'm left with from last night. And then the detail of the murali. Again, over the last year, we've grown accustomed to Baba sharing with us the essence and reminding us of what is the most important thing that we need to do, rather than getting into any detail. And so nobody was surprised that the Murali was short. By now we are used to that. Just think about it. For all these thousands of years, we've had the Gita, and the Gita is really absolutely very small. And in fact, like Baba says in the Murali, sometimes I've seen it, the little tiny, tiny Gita that's so absolutely tiny that it can fit into a locket around your neck. So the essence of all knowledge, all wisdom, is said to be the Gita. And so in bhakti, for a few thousand years, God's versions were distilled and distilled and distilled, and then mixed up with a lot of flour, with a few sacks, with a few grains of salt that remained, mixed with the flour. Even that was contained in just this tiny little book. And so within a short time, Baba was able to give us the essence of whatever it is Baba's seeing and where it is he's wanting to take us to. And so the first, that experience in Madhuban, especially when Baba is present in front of us, it's a very real experience of easy Raj Yoga. No effort. I am with Baba, Baba's in front of me, Baba's in my heart, Baba's vibrations are everywhere. But equally, what about Baba? Baba's feeling the same. Baba can't stay away from the children. That was very reassuring to hear Baba say that again, that Baba wants to come to meet the children again and again. And so in Baba's heart also, all the children, not this one, not that one, not this one, but the family, the gathering. And so Baba just reminding us of that very beautiful and powerful experience that you can tap into again and again. For many years, the experience I had of Baba's Srishti, I just have to remember that scene, and there's instant yoga, and I can feel Baba the magnet pulling the soul out of the awareness of the physical dimension and carrying me to another dimension. And so I think this is what Baba's doing for all of us. My experience was of great fortune with Sakar Baba, but for everyone who was there last night or who's ever been to any meeting with Avyakt Bap Dada, Baba gives us the drishti not only for that moment, but Baba is imprinting our memory with that experience so that we can open up that treasure store of memory and use that experience anytime we wish. You might be sitting on the bus in London and you just remember that drishti, and there you go, you're flying. You may be waiting in a traffic jam in Bombay, and again, the same thing, just remember that drishti, and there it is. So, a wonderful, wonderful gift from Baba, the drishti and the reminder of the experience of God's love, so that truly we can have easy Raj Yoga wherever it is we live, whatever work it is we are engaged in. So, and the more you remember it and keep it alive, the more powerfully it works for you. Think about Dadi and how one of Dadi's specialities has been that in the classes she used to conduct, again, now Daddy's role has changed, which is drama. But those of us who remember, even up until last year, the detail of the classes Daddy used to conduct, every class would have some story of Sakar Baba. And she would make that story come alive, even though the experience was of the 30s or the 40s or maybe even the 50s and 60s, even the 60s now, 50 years ago. So that's not a recent memory, it's a memory of 50 years ago, or even the memories of Karachi 70 years ago. Now, to be able to emerge that memory and share that memory so that it becomes alive for us. Can you imagine how deeply she's connected with that experience? And so for us, every moment of experience with Avyakt Bhavpada, the more we emerge it and feel it and keep it with ourselves, the easier we become in our own lives as Raj Yogis. It makes everything happen in a very natural and easy way. Emerge the scene of Baba, and you know what it is you have to do. The other day Baba was talking about the way Baba thinks, the way Baba speaks, the way Baba behaves and interacts. Is your behavior the same? Well, Avyakt Bhavpada has been playing this part and continues to play this part so that he can demonstrate to us the way Baba thinks, the way he speaks, and so on and so on. And so, Baba in my heart, and the children in Baba's heart, and not just in my heart, but I belong to Baba. Baba's claiming ownership over me. And that's a very beautiful thought. If it's a human being who claims ownership over you, that's a suffocating thought. It's a thought that's claustrophobic. But if God is claiming ownership over me, well, that's very beautiful. I belong to Baba. Baba belongs to me. And it's mutual. Not only is Baba claiming me, but he's allowing me to claim him. And just in those few words, there's magic. Why? Because if I belong to Baba, it means Baba takes total responsibility for me. It doesn't mean that I become lazy or careless, but it makes me even more aware that God is my Lord and Master. I belong to God. And so what is it I need to do to keep myself completely clean inside and completely clear inside so that, yes, truly, God can be my Lord and Master? If there's rubbish and stuff lurking inside, why should God want me to belong to Him? If I can make myself pure and clean, then God can also have that pleasure of saying, yes, you belong to me, my child, or my bride, whichever it is you prefer. And when God says, I belong to you, what's the feeling that you get at that time? You get the feeling that nothing is impossible. If God belongs to me, what is there that can possibly happen that can be not right? There's just nothing. God puts right whatever it is that's gone wrong. God turns everything into that which is beautiful. God fills everything with love and sweetness and joy. And so if God belongs to me, then my whole life is filled with that sweetness, that joy, that purity, that love, that protection. All the blessings that God has belong to me. No need to think, no need to ask, certainly no need to worry or fear. And I think we don't explore these statements that Baba's making deeply enough. I think we hear them, we enjoy them, and we repeat them, and maybe we skim over the surface of these statements, but we don't usually go into the depth of the experience of these. And so my recommendation would be, especially because the Muralis now are short, and now while you're here in Madhuban, but between now and tomorrow, whenever it is you leave, just take time to go deep into the experience of the very simple statements that Baba's making, and give yourself the joy of experiencing the power and the blessings that all these statements carry. And I think that's one of the reasons also why the muralis are shorter and shorter and shorter, so that then we can pick up those jewels and really play with them and see their beauty and value in our lives. The second thing that I want to touch upon was the way Baba was reminding us of our kingdom. Sangam Yuga is the time to attain fortune. Sangam Yuga is the time to experience God. But also Sangam Yuga is the very, very important time when we are laying the foundation for the kingdom of the future. And again, I don't know how much time you spent in thinking about what that kingdom will be like. And what Baba is saying to us is, whatever it is you think, whatever it is you do, you're planting the seeds of that kingdom of the future. This is your place of tapasya today. This is your place of service now. But this is also your place of the kingdom for the future. And so just simply let yourself stay in that awareness of what the future holds, but not the future of doubt and fear and anxiety, but really how the sanskars that Baba's creating in us today are creating the kingdom of tomorrow. When you see the dadis and you see the love, the care, the kindness that they have with each other, and then of course with all of us also, but just that little scenario of dadis coming onto the stage and the care that they have for each other. I remember a long time ago, in those days we used to have guests come for various things, and Baba's turns were every other day almost, and so very quickly after conferences then a day or two later would be Baba's meeting, and people would be invited to stay on if they were understanding and benefiting. And at one point a guest had stayed on, and the dadis had come on, they'd left Dadi Gulzar on the gadi, and then they just waited a moment to see her settle, given her drishti, and then moved away and come and taken their seats. And he said, it was as if they were handing her over to another power. And they were doing it with such great love and care and attention. And I'd never looked at it in that way. I'd seen the love that they had for her, and it was like they were, it's like when today with the trans messenger, if I have an opportunity, I'll say to the trans messenger who's going to carry book to Baba, please give Baba my love and greetings. And I've not heard what they say to Dadi Gulzar when they leave her and they come to their seats. But I imagined it was that they were telling her, give our love to Baba. Something like that. But he saw it in that way, that they were handing her over into the care of the higher power. And it was a very beautiful thought that stayed with me. And so now also you see them, they're leaving her in a way completely alone. And so they're stepping out of the scene, but they're leaving her with that care and gentleness. What will the deities see in each other? How will they look at each other? What will be the quality of their interaction with each other? You just have to see the dadis interacting and you get a glimpse of that. Absolute tenderness and care and love. And not just one and one, but the whole group of them, all of them together. And so when Baba's talking about the happiness of the future kingdom, everybody is still in simple white clothes. There's nothing of any extravagance that's visible. So the royalty is the truth. Sometimes Baba has explained how royalty is reality, is purity, is truth. And so the kingdom of the golden age is based on truth and purity. These two things, of course, go together. But at this moment, the happiness of the future kingdom, that's going to happen if in my heart there's nothing but love for Baba and no other feeling, but also if in my heart there's honesty and purity. When there's that truth in my own stage, then I see Satyug very, very close by. If there's all sorts of other things that I'm still going through the process of cleaning, then Satyug is a bit far away. But if, yes, the heart is clean and Baba sitting in my heart, and so there's that truth and purity, Satyug is just ahead, it's in front of me. And Satyug is then visible through my behavior. And so I'm very interested to see how we make Satyug become a reality by bringing the vision of Satyug into our lives so that others can also see that, yes, a new world is coming. Whether they're going to be part of that new world is their fortune, their destiny, or maybe not. But maybe all they want is peace, which is also fine. But they're going to be able to recognize this is God's work when they see the proof of God's work on us. What's the proof of God's work? There's buildings that are more beautiful than Gyan Sarovar. That's the truth. So it's not by seeing Gyan Sarovar that they're going to say, yes, this must be God's work. But as they see the people, and as they see God's work on the people, and the truth, and the joy, and the sanskars of that reality of purity present in those people, then they'll say, yes, this must be God's work. So we're the proof of God's work. It's not going to be deities that are sculpted up there that suddenly descend on earth. It's the deities who are here. And Drama and Baba has been sculpting away. And so earlier days we used to say that, you know, when the sculptor takes his hammer and chisel and he chips away at the block of stone or the block of wood, and out of that comes the beautiful image. So how is that created? It's all the knocks that Drama gives us, all the tests that we go through with people, with situations that change our sanskaras, that chip away all the rough bits, and the inner beauty that was hidden begins to come forth and it shines. When the image of Michelangelo was, when Michelangelo did the image of David, at that time a woman said to him, but how did you create this amazing thing? And his answer was, I just simply took away the bits that didn't belong. And so that's what Drama is doing to us, taking away all the bits that actually don't belong, so that the original purity, truth, love, peace and joy emerge. So the other bits, Ravan's bits, don't belong to me. And so Baba's reminding us it's time to let the kingdom not be visible out there. That's going to happen later. But the kingdom should be visible now through each and every one of us. So the reminder of Satyug for me was a very beautiful and powerful one. And the third thing that was in a way just one little statement that Baba made, but it's connected with the whole theme of happiness that Baba picked up on a lot in the Murali. Are you happy to be with God? Are you happy at Sangam Yug? Are you happy that you're going to be in Satyug? the theme of happiness was coming out in a very strong way, of course. But the one statement that I want to explore within happiness, Baba said, why should there be any need for sorrow? Why should there be any need for tears? Now that's interesting. And I'm interested in this because it seems that we still carry sorrow in our hearts that interfere with the experience of happiness that Baba wants us to have. And is it the discontent of my own effort at the present moment that's making me feel unhappy? That's one big story. Is it that I'm carrying memories of the past before Gyan that's causing me pain and sorrow, and I haven't learned to deal with it and let go of it? Is it that there are things that I'm holding on to that have happened since I came to Baba, and whether it was a settlement of karma with another individual, whether they were creating karma or I was creating karma, whichever way it was, but certainly there are stories that we carry of the confluence age and the people in the confluence age that we are connected with. Is it my fear of the future that's giving me cause for concern and there's sorrow for that reason? Is it guilt? Guilt can also bring anger. Guilt can also bring tears. And so many reasons why we experience sorrow. And the problem with sorrow is that unless you deal with it and clean it out and throw it away completely, it's going to keep interfering in your effort at the present moment. And when there's the feeling of sorrow, then you cannot do service. That's the fact. It's only when I've finished my experience of sorrow and I'm accumulating the experience of happiness and I start sharing the experience of happiness, that yes, then truly there's service that's happening. There's a story that Janki used to tell us about a soul who you don't often hear about because he passed away in 1968, so long time ago. He passed away in March 68 and Baba left in January 69. So it was a season of departures. A very powerful soul. And you see him sitting at the bottom of the kalpa tree in Tapasya, Dada Vishwakishore. And Dada Vishwakishore was Baba's right hand and he really single-handedly did what four people took on after his departure. So when he left after that, it was Ramesh Bhai, Jagdish Bhai, and Nirvay Bhai, and Brijmohan Bhai was a little bit occupied with Lokik work at the time. He came onto the scene in a big way later. But also then Dada Vishwaratan took on a lot. And so his role, very incognito, but very critical in moving from Karachi to Abu. He organized all of that. The ship that brought 300 people and all their goods across at a time when it was a time when refugees were leaving. People were still leaving empty-handed. So how did he arrange that? With love and God's power, really. He just knew who to go to, how to speak, what to say, how to make it happen, all with yoga power, and it would happen. The train from Oka Harbour all the way to Abu Now, even when things are okay, like now, it's not such an easy task to organize. You know, we organize little things, a car here, a coach here, and a bit here and a bit there. Now, this was something in those days, no computers, very few telephones. So it was quite a thing to organize, but he did it. It gives you an indication of the capacity and the yoga power of this individual. A lot of detail, but I won't go into that. But when he came to Pune, where Daddy was serving, he said to Daddy, "Don't tell me how many people you've given the course to. Tell me how many people have you given happiness to. Then I'll know what is service here." And so yes, we can speak gyan to many, but to how many people have I actually given happiness? And then of course the interesting thing is that it's not only through gyan that you give happiness. Yes, it's a very important major ingredient, but all the things I'm describing that he did, that gave a lot of happiness to people. He was the one who negotiated the deal for Pandav Bhavan. Pandav Bhavan still is such a magical place. And he negotiated that deal for Baba's family to move there. That place is still giving happiness to so many. So, how many people have I served and given happiness to? It's a very interesting way to look at my role in service. Why am I here? What is my purpose of being here? And am I fulfilling that purpose of being here? And so then this question about sorrow. How come I'm still carrying sorrow? And of course, when there's sorrow in my heart, then not only is it that I'm not giving happiness to another, but the other side is also true. I'm probably giving sorrow to another. If I've taken sorrow, I'm holding on to sorrow, I'm probably speaking without harshness to somebody. I'm probably saying words that give sorrow to another individual. And so, a very important factor to remember. This is why it's important that I deal with whatever is the pain and sorrow that I carry. This first thing about, am I discontent with myself? It's something that takes more than a few minutes to explore for the self, and nobody else can do the exploration for you. But how come Baba's offering me absolutely everything? And Baba's giving me open space and open choice. And Baba's saying, pick your role. Which bead of the rosary is it that you want to be? Number one, number two, there's the eight, there's the 108. And it all depends on you. Nobody is going to impose anything from outside and say, yes, you can, no, you can't. It totally depends on your capacity to absorb Baba's knowledge and become what Baba is asking us to become. It depends on your connection with Baba and how much you choose to take from Baba. And based on how much you take in terms of gyan and yoga and dharana, how much you want to give to others. Service is not so much about doing. Service is more about being and giving. I'd really like to see us change the definition of service. And it's not about doing, doing, doing. It's being and giving. And so, am I giving, and what am I giving, and how am I giving it? And what's stopping me from doing what I would like to do. This is why I say that it's a very deep personal exploration. But as I go on that journey to ask myself, for how come I'm not content with myself? Why should I carry any trace of any sorrow about my lack of effort? Who's responsible? Nobody out there. Really no one. It's me and me and me. And when I deeply realize this and I start doing something about it, of course my contentment grows. And of course I'll see the results happen in front of me. I'm content. I'm giving contentment to others in my interaction with them. And I'm getting the feedback. Whatever you put out is what you get. And we teach this to others, but we don't always remember it ourselves. If what I'm getting isn't what I like, then let me ask myself the question, what is it that I'm putting out? Instead of pointing my finger at all of them, what am I putting out on a subtle level, and maybe not even so subtle? Maybe it's the drishti, maybe it's the words. What is it that I'm doing? And so let me create that stage of contentment with being and giving, doing what it is I need to do. So that, I think, all of us can choose to deal with ourselves. Doesn't need anyone else. Baba's Muralis, and plenty of Muralis that we've all heard. And every day Baba continues to give us more. Another thing, and I want to go back to, out of all the different things I've mentioned, but in particular I want to pick up on the sorrow that I carry from pre-gyan. It's Kali Yuga. And each one comes to Baba with different situations, different karma, different health, different issues, different relations, different bondages, different samskaras, everything different. But it's all in the same pot of Kali Yuga, and I'm in that same pot of being Tamopradhan. Interesting, today again Baba saying, sannyasis, titles, mahatmas, whatever they may say, but they're all tamopradhan. They're all there in the same pot. And so our journey before gyan is in the same spot. And then our journey after gyan, whatever it is we choose, whatever it is we make of it. But here, within this pot, whatever karmic situation I found myself in that still causes me sorrow at this moment, and what I haven't done is that original effort. I'll keep sharing Daddy's stories because Daddy doesn't share them so much anymore. And I know some of you have heard them many times, which is fine, but some of you might not have heard them. But Daddy shares the story of how when she surrendered, it was just joy and enthusiasm and intoxication and love. It was her deep desire to surrender, and it happened and she came. And then what happened was, after some time, she started feeling sorrow. And she went to Mama. Mama asked her several questions, couldn't understand. And then Mama sent her to Baba. Baba said, this, and no, it wasn't any of those things, that the sorrow was there. And then Baba said to her, but you gave your Laukik family a lot of happiness, and now they're still remembering you as Janki and feeling that they've lost Janki, and so they're feeling unhappy. But it's because Janki hasn't yet died. And so that, it's good karma, you gave them happiness, so that's why they're remembering you. But now they're missing you. You're not attached to them, but their attachment to you still pulls you. Now, how do I deal with somebody else's attachment to me, somebody I haven't even seen for a few years now? Interesting, isn't it? And okay, so maybe it's that I'm still living with them. Maybe it's that I still connect with them every day, but whatever it is, but it's still a karmic connection in which I'm feeling sorrow because they're feeling whatever it is they're feeling. And Baba's answer was, it's because Janki hasn't yet died. And her understanding of that was that she hadn't let go of the identity of Janki. And so her deep, deep practice of soul consciousness and detachment, 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 and my new birth as a child of God. Now, the other day, you noticed how every single one of us talked about the original effort being soul consciousness, because that's the reality. And this is what we've understood both from Gyan and Murali's, but also from being with the Dadis all these years. Original effort for soul consciousness, dying from the old identity. And so today, whatever it is that happened in Kali Yuga, it happened in my 83rd birth. My 84th birth is as God's child. My 84th birth is not a Laukik birth. Baba often talks about birth through the impurity. So yes, this body still has that karma, but my pure birth is through Gyan, through the mouth of Brahma. It's a very beautiful image they show in Bhakti. The deities took birth through the mouth of Brahma. How? It's happening. We hear the knowledge, and maybe you've heard it from fourth generation, seventh generation, but go back, go back, go back. Who do they hear it from? And even today, where is the original knowledge coming from? The Murali. And so through the knowledge that God speaks through the mouth of Brahma, we have taken new birth, a new spiritual consciousness, a new vision, a new identity, a new way of connecting with others. Just imagine, if you didn't have Gyan, you found yourself in India, you found yourself in the midst of a few, several hundred people dressed in white, you'd freak out and you'd say, hey, let me out of here. You'd run. And so something happened. How did it all happen? It all happened through here, a change in here. And so this is my new birth, this is my new family. Everything has changed. And so why am I still holding on to the things of my Laukik birth? It's actually my past birth. And if I want to hold on to it, what's Baba going to do about it? Baba will say, well, I'm showing you something different. But if you want to stick there, that's your choice then. And so I can let go of the sorrow of my 83rd birth in the memory, in the awareness, in the feeling and experience of my 84th birth now. And I'm thinking about bad things that have happened in our 83rd birth. Some of us have been through very severe situations of great trauma. When I travel to war-torn countries and the most recent experience of this was Bosnia, Sarajevo, and Serbia, and Belgrade, and so on. A little while earlier in June, it had been Croatia. So one country split into five, Czechoslovakia, one country split into two. And people have scars, they really do. And to try and analyze, to try and deal with everything that happened, this happened and that happened, and it's just too much, I think. And I don't think that analysis of all of that is what works. And I think it's the new birth that can shift all of that. And so where it's big things that have happened in that way, some of us have been through many big things, some of us have been through one or two big things, but whatever it is, let me truly take a new birth and stay in that awareness. Let me die from there. Then the attachments of that past and the attachments of others also will really finish. The sorrow that I carry of Sangam Yug, and yes, things have happened that has given us sorrow even in Sangam Yug. I think it was the revision course Murali on Sunday, in which one particular sentence struck me, and it's connected with this aspect of the sorrow of Sangam Yug. Baba said in this Murali at some point that Baba's talking about 99 and preparation for the year 2000 and so on. And in that, Baba said that there'll be all these different things that will happen. There'll be things going wrong outside with the elements, with nature. There'll be upheavals, circumstances, your own sanskaras. You're dealing with all of these things. But in particular, you're dealing with the obstacles that Brahmins create for you. Did that strike you? That particular sentence? It struck me. Because when things happen out there, for Brahmins it's easy to detach and say, it's Kali Yuga, you know, those are the things out there. But when things happen in the Brahmin family, then your expectations of them are so high. And you don't think that your sense of judgment is also at play. But it shouldn't be like that. They're Brahmins, don't they understand why? So these are the things that come up. And yet Baba's saying that our deepest karma is with these souls, not with the Laukik. That was short. It's with these souls, long. And there will be things that will happen, things that I don't expect, things that I don't want. Is it possible for me to treat it in two ways and say, it's come to show me how close or how far I am from my karmatit stage? Really seriously look at it in that way, as an opportunity to see the self. And then secondly, it's settling. It's A, the mirror for me, but B, whatever it is, something is being settled and I'm learning. Both things are happening. The settlement is happening, the learning is happening, and I'm able to grow and move forward. And when I treat my own personal story, my history of Sangam Yuga in this way, then I can say, okay, I understand, it happened like that, but it's gone. It's finished. And if I can free myself of that sorrow, then it means that I'm much lighter, I'm much closer to Baba, than I was before, because the burden that I was carrying of that sorrow of the family. Because here's Baba saying, Sanghamyuk, this is the most beautiful family you'll ever have. And that's also a fact. The beauty of Madhuban is that you experience the unlimited family and the seniors of the family, and you experience that joy. So, yes, experience that too. But definitely find a way to let go of the sorrow. And if I'm taking Baba's love, then the more love I take from God, the easier it is to let go of sorrow. I don't want anything from human beings. Don't need anything from human beings. Especially if I'm now wanting to be a donor, one who's able to give. No expectations from human beings. It becomes a huge problem. They should, they have to. All of these things cause me pain. And so, and I can let go of this because A, Baba's love is dissolving whatever is the sorrow I carry. But B, Baba's love is filling and is giving me the power to be able to stay content and full and be able to give. And so, all the stories of Sangam Yug, time to finish those, don't you think? I mean, we are seeing very, very big signals in terms of time. Drama is showing us what's happening in the world out there, but drama is also showing us what's happening in terms of the dadis. And even with the dadis, surely it's now time for those of us who've taken a lot to be able to give them the return of the proof that all the work they've done for us is actually ready to bear fruit now. It's visible that we're able to give them that proof. And for those who haven't taken so much, and I know there are some who've just taken very little from the dadis, but I know that you appreciate that all the work that they've done through the years have created whatever it is you're able to experience now. So even if you haven't had a personal meeting with daddy, but you're still experiencing the power and the fruit of the work that the daddies have done. That's the reality. And so you're also taking from whatever it is they've been able to create and give. So I think that it's a time when we can say that really, Baba's offering me the opportunity for total happiness. Let me enjoy it and let me be it. So those original qualities of the self, peace. Am I able to be totally peaceful? Truth. Have I filled myself with the truth that Baba's offering? Purity. Completely, completely clean. No shadow, no trace, no dust. The joy, am I able to stay in that stage of constant, constant joy? And if I have all of these things, there'll be nothing but love that shines out and reaches others. Some of these other things missing, and the love won't be complete. But all the other qualities there, then the love is absolutely the perfect aura, the perfect energy. So yesterday's Murali, exactly what we needed, which is the reality that Baba knows what it is we need, and Baba gives us what it is we need. You feel that that's what happened yesterday? Yes? Not reaching me. Yes? Yes. Okay. So, a different experience maybe to what you had anticipated, but very sweet, very beautiful. So treasure it in your heart. Who knows how many more sweet meetings like this? I don't know for sure. But whichever one comes and however it comes, whether in Madhuban or by transmission, it'll be what the soul needs. Om Shanti. So in meditation now, just take Baba's love, just keep Baba in your heart and be in Baba's heart and feel the happiness of Sangam Yuga and feel the true royal dignity and sanskars of Satyug emerge. Om Shanti.